Thank you for directing your internet connection to this sermon audio page for Christ Orthodox Presbyterian Church. You can learn more about Christ OPC by visiting our website at www.christopcatl.org. Christ OPC meets for worship each Sunday at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray together. Our gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of physical life and spiritual life. Thank you for creating us in your own image. And then when that image was broken because of our sin and transgression, you, our God, you were pleased to restore that image through the death and the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Indeed, we are now reconciled with you, our God, through the merit and the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. So tonight we come to you to give thanks to you, our God, for who we are in your Son, Jesus Christ. We continue to rejoice in our union with Christ by faith. We continue to be thankful to you, our God, for loving us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and through the means of grace. And tonight, once again, we thank you, our God, for the gift of your word, this divine revelation where we as your people see you, our God, in the pages of the scripture, through which you speak to us every time we sit under the proclamation of the word of God. So thank you for the gift of your word. And as we now open your word, and also our ears and our hearts to listen to your word, we ask you to illumine our minds and our hearts by your Holy Spirit. The opening of your law imparts insight and understanding to your people. So as we open your word tonight, Lord, we pray that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. We pray all these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man. In his name we pray. Amen. Beloved, if you have your Bibles with you, I would like to invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9 to 11, and as you do that, I would like to tell you how delighted I am to be here, to be back to the pulpit and to you all tonight to worship our Lord together and to minister to you by His Word. I continue to appreciate the connection that we have in Christ Jesus, and I always appreciate our friendship between the two of our churches and the elders and the pastors. Very thankful to the Lord for that. Isaiah 40, 9 to 11. God's word for God's people. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. What is the one thing that greatly helps you and sustains you in times of great trouble and crisis in the Christian life? Of course, you would say, my faith, my hope, and my patience through difficult times in my Christian life. But the tricky question would be, how does that work for you if you don't know who God really is? If you don't comprehend who your God is, if you don't understand who God is and how He deals with His people, how would your faith, your hope, and your patience help you in times of trials? In the language and sentiment of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 40, if you don't behold your God, how would you be sustained through trials in the Christian life? You see, the Israelites just received a very threatening news. The prophet Isaiah told King Hezekiah that the Babylonians will be on their way to invade Judah and take all the people to captivity in Judah for 70 years, including the children of the king. It was a very terrifying news that the king and the whole Judah received from the prophet Isaiah. I'm sure they were downcast. I'm sure they were in despair. I'm sure they were thinking, well, I think the God of the Babylonians is more powerful than the God of Israel. If they are going to come and invade us, if they are going to come and oppress us, that shows us that for some reason and somehow our God has given in to the God of Babylon. They are powerful. Their God is powerful than us. You see what was going on in their mind, what they were asking. And Isaiah was given a message by God. Isaiah, yes, you have told them the bad news, but I also want you to tell them the good news, because there is comfort in me. You see, in the Old Testament, especially in Isaiah, the word comfort means strength. The word comfort means to press on in the face of unimaginable trials, like what they just heard. I want my people to press on. I want my people to trust in me. So I want you to comfort them. And in Isaiah 40, my brothers and sisters, you see threefold of God's comfort. The first one is God's comfort based on salvation, based on the forgiveness of our sins. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins, which means I will be merciful, I will forgive their sin, they will be restored to me, so there is forgiveness in me. So I want you to tell my people to be comforted by salvation. And then the second comfort was comfort on the word of God. You remember what Isaiah told the king and the people of Judah? Men are like grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever. Isaiah, I want you to tell my people that the Babylonians are only men. They're like grass. Isaiah, I want you to tell my people that their enemies are not going to determine the destiny of my people. I determine the destiny of my people. Beloved, what is going to happen to your life is predetermined by God. Only God determines your destiny. Because He loves you. Because He cares for you. Even if it looks bad, even if it's painful, but your God loves you. Your God cares for you. So you see, Isaiah is telling them your comfort is based on the eternal and everlasting Word of God. Not words of man, but Word of God. And then thirdly, you see, your comfort is based in you beholding your God. You having this biblical perception of God. You see, Isaiah is when he told the people of Israel, behold your God. He was telling them, don't come to a conclusion before you meditate on who God is. Meditate on His attributes. Remember that He is Almighty. Remember that He is omniscient. Remember that He is all-powerful. Remember that everything has been decreed by Him to come and pass according to His will. He's in control. He's sovereign. So meditate on His attributes. And if you go through the attributes of God, my beloved, you will stop and remind yourself, oh, I think I have misunderstood God. I am afraid because I don't understand who my God is. So you see, Isaiah is calling the people of Israel to do three things. To do three things. One, to look at God with their spiritual eyes. To look at who God is. And then secondly, to look at His strengths. And then to look at God as their shepherd. It's amazing, you see, how Isaiah brings the word of comfort to the people of Israel. And these are words of comfort for us. This is applicable to you and I tonight. So, by looking at Him, listen to Isaiah, go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up. Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. But how did God come in a way that His people would behold His glory? Understand who God is. Perceive how God deals with His people covenantally. I think that's a very important question to ask. You remember Moses one time asked God, Lord, show me your glory. And God told Moses, well, if you see my glory, you will not live, you will die. And what God did was, He showed Moses the reflection of His glory, part of His glory. Moses couldn't stand. But he was asking more of God's glory, more knowledge of God, more understanding of God. I think Moses was asking God, I'm convinced that Moses was asking God to show him more of Himself. I want you to know more. I want to know you more. I want to understand you more. So help me with that. Have you been there in a Christian life? You're suffering. It's painful. And you say, I wish I could understand God more. So how do we behold God's glory? Well, God showed them His glory in the clouds. But they couldn't comprehend God the way they wanted to understand Him. It was just a cloud of His glory. And then in the fire, God was unapproachable. So they wanted more. I want more of God. You, I'm sure you want more of God. So how do you behold God? We behold our God in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:3, He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of this, His nature. You see, in Jesus Christ, the glory of God came to dwell among us. Emmanuel, God with us. John 14:8-9, we read Philip asking Jesus to show them His Father. Philip asked Jesus, we want to see your Father, our God. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me? Philip, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. If you want to see God, if you want to behold God, come to Christ. Be in Christ. Have union with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, by faith. And then you will see the beauty of God. You will see the majesty of God. You will see the love of God. You will see the care of God. You remember when Jesus was going from one city to another city, healing the sick, casting out demons, feeding the hungry. People were seeing God in Christ Jesus. They experienced God in His Son Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus told His disciples and all of us tonight. John 1:18. No one has ever seen God. Why? Because God is invisible. God is spirit. He doesn't have body, physical body like you and I. But Jesus, the second person of Trinity, took human flesh. He became man like us. Without sin, of course, no one has ever seen God. The only God, Christ Himself, who is at the Father's side, He has made Him known. He has made Him known. Jesus. We behold our God, beloved, in Christ Jesus, His Son. If you are in Christ by faith, if you have been united with Jesus Christ by faith, you can behold your God. You can understand your God. You see, that was the reason why Jesus came to the world. That's why Jesus became Emmanuel, God with us. You see, He walked with His disciples. He ate with them. He slept with them. He stayed in places with them. They had God among them. But you also remember them doubting about Christ being God. We were not there with them in person. So when sometimes you become weak, when sometimes you doubt because of the overwhelming trials in your life, you don't need to be hard on yourself. Just remember who your God is. Remember who Jesus is. We need to behold our God. We need to understand all His attributes. You see, Isaiah, in the case of the people of Judah, he already told them this. He already told them that God was going to reveal His glory to them in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 7:14, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and his name will be what? Emmanuel, God with us. He already told them. The only problem is, you know, with the people of Judah and you and I, the only problem is forgetfulness. We forget what we already know about God. The disciples, you see, there were times in their life that they completely forgot who Jesus was. They even had this, you know, this courage to come to Jesus and say to Jesus, "You don't care about us? We are perishing here. You don't care." Can you imagine you saying to God, "You don't care about me"? You need to behold your God, understand your God, not to say those things. What about Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:6? "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You see, where is the glory of God being revealed to us? In the face of Jesus Christ. That's why every time I preach Christ, I encourage and exhort believers to know their Savior, to read about Jesus, to understand Jesus. Because the more you understand Jesus, the more the glory of God will be revealed to you, the more you will behold your God. In times of crisis, whatever crisis in your life, then you not only will be strong, but you will not be afraid. Listen to Isaiah. "Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up. Fear not." Now put yourself in the place of the Jewish people in Judah. What they knew was Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. The temple was going to be destroyed. Now he's addressing them as Jerusalem that was going to be destroyed. And he tells them, "Oh Jerusalem, herald of good news, lift it up, fear not." You see the irony? Well, Isaiah, you just told us we'll be destroyed. No temple. And now you are telling us to proclaim the good news from Jerusalem? Yes. It will happen because of who your God is. Not because of you. Not because of your strengths. But you have every reason not to be afraid because of who your God is. Beloved, do not be afraid about what you hear. What will happen to your life? Because of who your God is. And secondly, by looking at his strengths. In verse 10, "Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him." Now, if you are the member of the residents in Judah, and you have already received this terrible news from the prophet Isaiah, about destruction, about invasion, about oppression. And then you hear these words, "Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him." You see, God was telling his people, "I'm sending you to Babylon because of your sin. I'm chastising you as my people. And when I accomplish that, I will never let the Babylonians to go beyond of what I have planned for you. Whatever they do, they are not going to go beyond of my permission. I'm in control. I will come through my son, through the Messiah, with a might hand, with my strengths." And do you know when this was fulfilled? This was fulfilled in Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, you see the fulfillment of this from verse 1 to 3. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. You see, now I'm bringing it from Isaiah 40 to Mark chapter 1. The arrival of the new king, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Behold, I send my messenger before your face. He will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, this is John the Baptist. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. This is what Isaiah is talking about. He will come with his might. To do what? To rule. Let me explain what this rule means for God's people. God, through Christ, God the Father, through His Son Jesus Christ, will rule in two ways. One, He will crush His enemies and the enemies of His people. If they don't repent, He's going to rule over them. He's going to judge over them. You all know, as students of God's Word, as worshipers of God, you all know that the Egyptians were servants of God, the Assyrians were servants of God, the Babylonians were servants of God. The Bible says everything serves this sovereign God, whether they believe it or not. Everything serves God, God's purposes. So He will subdue His enemies. He will rule His enemies. He will judge His enemies. So all the enemies of God, they need to repent before God rules over them with His divine wrath and punishment. But the second way that God rules is God rules on the hearts of men and women with the power of the gospel. When the gospel is preached, it goes from the mouth of Christ, from the mouth of the preacher, with the power of the Holy Spirit, brings conviction into the life of the sinner, and people are converted to Christ. People are transformed to the newness of life. Where they behold your God in His Son, Jesus Christ. Behold, the Lord God comes with might and His arm rules for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him. So now Isaiah is taking us from His rule to His reward. It's amazing. He not only rules, but Isaiah is saying His reward is with Him. What is His reward? You are His reward. The people of Judah were His reward. You see, God the Father gave His Son Jesus Christ a people. You see, the elect, the remnant, to be redeemed by His blood, to become His own chosen people. The priesthood of God, the chosen race. A marvelous picture of the display of God who sits on His throne are His people. And you and I and the remnant in Judah were Jesus' reward. You see, Jesus here is reminding us of what Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, verse 10 to 12. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief, the Father to the Son. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, our sin, he shall see, now listen to this, he shall see the offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. Because he's going to redeem the elect. If you meet Jesus in person and you ask him, what is You know, describe your joy for me. Describe your delight for me, Jesus. Jesus will tell you, you, my people, are my delight. You are my crown. You are my joy. I gave up my own life for you. I died for you on the cross. You are my reward. This is our hero, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Isaiah is describing your salvation. Isaiah is describing how you are connected with Jesus. You remember what Jesus said in Mark 3, verse 27, but no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man who is the devil. You see, Jesus was saying, that's what I have done for you. I came to do that. I came to bind the strong man, Satan, and set you free. You are my reward. But Hebrews 12:2, I think, is a wonderful picture of what we are considering here. The writer of the Hebrews describes how Jesus was feeling when he was anticipating the cross. Listen to the words of the writer of the Hebrews. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. The joy that was set before him, that was his reward. The salvation of the people of God. In the case of the people of Judah, Isaiah was telling them, this king is coming, new king. The Messiah is coming. And the deliverance that he's going to bring to you is more than the physical deliverance from the hand of the Babylonians. He actually is going to deliver you from the power of sin. Isaiah was showing them the bigger picture. You know, life is not about what you have in Judah. Life is not about you being a nation, maybe a powerful nation like Israel. That's not all you have here on earth. The Messiah will come and give you the kingdom of God, give you the righteousness of God through his blood, through his sacrifice on the cross. You see, my friends, Jesus endured the shame of the cross because he was looking at the joy that has been set for him by his Father. And that was your salvation, the salvation of the remnant in Israel. Lastly, we behold our God by looking at God as our shepherd. Verse 11. Notice verse 10. Behold, his reward is with him, his recompense before him. Now listen to these words. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Now, those of you who know the attributes of God, who understands the attributes of God, one of the things that really amazes me about our God is the fact that God is our shepherd. Shepherds in Israel were the most despised members of the community. They were not allowed to come to the court and bear witness about anyone. The most lowly and despised people in Israel. Now, God is highly exalted. God is above everything, above all creation. Right now, God sits on His throne, and the angels are worshiping before Him without ceasing. That's who our God is. He's righteous, He's perfect, He's just. At the same time, He is our shepherd. He's the shepherd of His people. And the comfort for the people of Judah and all of us tonight was this: He will tend His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms. You see, Isaiah is telling us that God, as a shepherd, has taken you as His own personal interest. You are His personal interest. He's concerned about you. God, as our shepherd, He's concerned about our trials, our pains, our sicknesses. He's our shepherd. What a comfort. You see, God presented Himself through Isaiah to His people as a shepherd. Ezekiel 34:31, "And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture. I am your God, declares the Lord." You are human, but you are my sheep, my flock. Ezekiel 34:16, "I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. The fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice." Your enemies, God is saying, leave them to me. They are under my control. I will deal with them. If they don't repent, I have what? Recompense for them. But you, my people, I will shepherd you. I will take care of you so tenderly, so lovingly. Well, how do we find this shepherding? In the case of the people of Judah, it was God who was their shepherd, and He was raising shepherds among them, the shepherds of Israel. Some faithful, some were not faithful. But those who were faithful were representing God in His office of shepherding. What about today? What about in our case? Jesus, the Good Shepherd, fulfills this office in our lives. He's under shepherds. Your pastors, your elders, among you, men like you, human like you, but under shepherds, they represent Christ in His office of shepherding. See, Jesus in John 10:11 said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for His sheep." Then shepherd you. Then provide spiritual care for my people. John 10:9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Beloved, Jesus died for us on the cross. For the remnant in Israel and for us, He died on the cross. Not to just save us, not to just reconcile us with the Father, and then leave us to our own. You know, from now onwards, you are on your own. If that was the case, He will never take the title of a shepherd. Shepherds live with their people. Shepherds feel the pain of their people, their sheep. And this is how, you see, Jesus as a shepherd is so perfect for you. Not Ken, not Pastor Zaki, not Wally King and other ruling elders here, but Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus. And let me describe that to you. When you are going through trials, when you are in pain, when you are in sorrow, we cannot be with you 24 hours. But Jesus is with you all the time. In your bed, Jesus is with you. Where your pastors and elders are not with you, Jesus is right with you. That's why He is your shepherd. You see, Isaiah was telling them, He will be in Babylon with you. You think Babylon is out of God's control? Beyond of the reach of your God? No, He is your shepherd. He will be right with you in Babylon. He will take care of you. He will shepherd you. You see the words that He uses here. He will tend His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms, which means He will bring them back to Jerusalem to worship Him and to experience the means of grace in God's new church, new Jerusalem. This is who your God is. And the call to all of us tonight is this. By God's grace, let us behold our God. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, thank you, Lord, for the majesty of your word, for the power of your word, and the comfort that your word brings to us. Tonight we ask you to help us by your Holy Spirit to behold you, our God, to meditate on your attributes every moment of our life, to keep reminding ourselves that you are God, you have revealed your glory in your Son Jesus Christ. You are God. You are our shepherd. And we, as your people, we can behold you in your Son, Jesus Christ. Comfort our hearts. Make these words real to the life of each and every one here in the sanctuary. Give your word success in the hearts and the minds of each and every one of us. Use these words to grow us in our sanctification and help us to behold you, our God, by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.